Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show. We got 24 and a half more minutes to go on this Wednesday. We thank you for listening. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. If you want to watch us on the internet, go to Facebook Live. Just type in Today's Issues, and we also post the stories that we talk about so you can see where we're getting our info from. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Steve Paisley Jordahl
joins us.
Thanks. Steve, I got to where now people are disappointed if you're not wearing paisley.
You can't please everybody all the time. And
do you feel pressure in the morning to find some paisley?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have people come by the office now. We have people that tour our facilities. And more than once when they come by my cube, they said, Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yes. So. Oh, yeah. It's just stuck to your name.
It is. I'm leaning into it.
You usually have some kind of paisley going on every other day. Anyway.
So tomorrow's another day. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, you'll find some paisley. We all need paisley in our life, if you think about it.
A little bit of paisley.
Huh?
Got to have a little paisley.
In your life. Yeah. Everybody does. All right, Steve, what do you got?
I got to tell you, you know how we often talk about how the Democrats and the liberals rail on Christians because they're anti-gay and
No, I've never heard that.
Yeah. Well, but we've been pointing out how come they never seem to take on Muslims or Muslim countries, right? They're kind of
yes.
Well, this has come to a head in Maryland. Maryland school board meeting. I'm going to play you some sound here. Maryland school board meeting in Montgomery County, and they are discussing whether or not to let kids opt out of LGBTQ plus whatever classes and content. Well, there's a lot of Muslim students in there, and the Muslim students are just as anti or pro-family, or they don't like the homosexual stuff, and their faith says it's wrong too. So they're speaking at this school board. You're going to hear a young woman named Yasim El-Koshari. She's a Muslim girl, and she's explaining why she wants to be able to opt out and not to denigrate her faith. And then you're going to hear Democrat Montgomery Council, City Council member Kristen Mink try to make sense of it all, and it is something to behold. Cut 11.
The issue of gender and sexuality are influenced by our faith, and we should not be caricatured as intolerant. And our faith perceived to be subversive because it doesn't align with your beliefs. Intolerance of the faith community threatens to erode support for religious freedom, therefore eroding the benefits it provides for everyone, religious and non-religious. Pluralistic societies that value human dignity and do not view faith communities as a problem to be eliminated will only thrive and prosper. I respectfully request the restoration of the opt-out option at MCPS. Thank you. Takbir.
This issue has unfortunately put some, not all, of course, but some Muslim families on the same side of an issue as white supremacists and outright bigots. And, you know, however, the folks who I've talked to here today, I would not put in the same category as those folks, although, you know, it's, again, complicated because they're falling on the same side of this particular issue.
Wow.
Those bigots. You know, I bet 90% of the people that are protesting LGBT content in their schools are Christian, or at least based on their Christian beliefs, don't want their kids exposed to it. So she says those are the bigots. Those are the white supremacists. These Muslim kids, they're not white supremacists. They're not bigots, of course. They're Muslim. Just odd that they find themselves on the same side of this issue, but, you know.
Yeah, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Well, listen, I can prove that the vast majority of people in the Christian community are not simply bigots. And the proof of that is nobody really started protesting at schools about teaching about various sexual orientations until this moved down to the elementary school level. And they've been teaching this in high schools across the country for decades. But it wasn't until they moved down to propagandize the little kids, which tells me that these people, most parents, even people of faith, were willing to live and let live until they started trying to indoctrinate little kids. But I'll tell you what else. It also shows that they were wrong to let it go on in high schools, because the homosexual activists will never be satisfied until everyone, until your baby comes out of the womb holding a rainbow flag, all right? They will never be satisfied. And so all these parents gave them an inch, and now they're taking a mile, and they want your little ones too.
The Human Rights Campaign, you know, that pro-gay group,
right,
has declared its first ever state of emergency for LGBTQ plus Americans. It's not safe anymore for them because of all of the unprecedented and dangerous spike in anti-LGBTQ legislative assaults sweeping the nation. They're coming and they're trying to roll back our rights. They're not rolling back anything. You are the ones that are all of a sudden introducing drag queens and pornography.
Exactly.
And the people that oppose that are saying, no, stop. You've gone far enough. That's too far.
HRC started this fight.
And then
when people fight back, then they complain and they call it assault.
Rolling back rights.
Yep. Wow.
Breaking news. I got breaking news.
Oh, yes.
The governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum, is announcing today. So I'm watching the video feed of it. He's running for president.
This is live.
So what we got now with the Republican side is we've got two announcements a day.
Because it's nine total now, isn't it? Nine candidates announced.
Ed, if you can name them.
All right, you got Donald Trump, you got Nikki Haley, you got Tim Scott, Ron DeSantis.
Are you reading or are you naming
Asa Hutchinson? I won't answer that question. Mike Pence, Chris Christie, and Doug Burgum. And yes, I am reading it.
Read them again.
NPR.
I'll count them on my fingers.
All right, Donald Trump.
One.
Nikki Haley.
Two.
Tim Scott.
Three.
Ron DeSantis.
Four.
Asa Hutchinson.
Five.
Hutchinson. Mike Pence.
Six.
Chris Christie.
Seven.
Doug Burgum.
Eight.
Okay, did I say nine?
What am I missing? You got Vivek.
Vivek Ramaswamy. Good, I got a chance to say that.
Right, so that's how many?
You were counting.
But you stalled out there, and I started raising
nine.
A finger.
That's nine. I think it's nine.
Nine.
Because I forgot Vivek Ramaswamy.
No. What about the businessman, the billionaire from Dallas? And Larry Elder, did you mention?
Oh, I didn't mention Larry Elder.
He's the.
I got stuck on Vivek Ramaswamy. That's true. And who's the businessman? I forgot about him.
I remember. What's his name? Is his name Johnson or what's his name?
Who are you talking?
Type in billionaire.
All right, go ahead and do that, Steve.
Billionaire, running for Republican. He's not. There are two billionaires.
Is Mike Pompeo in?
No, he said he wasn't going
to. Okay.
You know what was really funny?
Perry Johnson.
I knew Perry was going to run. I just didn't know, you know.
Samsonite. I was way off.
You know what was really funny this morning? I was watching. You know what a chyron is on TV? It's the little banner that they have below the picture that has, describing what you're talking about, right? So right now, for example, the chyron on Fox is North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum launching 2024 White House campaign. Well, this morning, the chyron read, Christie, who was the other guy that announced today?
Mike Pence.
Pence. Christie.
Who's the other guy?
It said Christie.
Poor Pence.
I know. Christie, Pence, and North Dakota Governor. Because if they put Christie, Pence, and Burgum, no one would have any idea who they're talking about.
It's a law firm.
But Governor Burgum of North Dakota is announcing again.
I know nothing about him politically.
Well, you're about to.
Well, I can tell you this. He's no Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm sorry.
All right.
A little bit.
Anyway.
Drinking a little silly juice today.
So, you know, the Republican National Committee, the National Party, they're going to have to decide. So they set up standards a few days ago for who can participate on the debate stage. And I read that because you get so many people. This is almost
getting 11.
This is almost getting like 2016. Remember when they had so many people, they had to have a
Democrats had a large
They had to have a JV game.
That's right.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
So I don't know. Ronna McDaniel, who's the National Republican spokesperson, said you got to have demonstrate some kind of polling. You got to have at least
three separate polls.
Have to show you at least 1% or more.
2%.
Oh, they raised it.
Yeah, I think it's 2%.
2%, and then you have to demonstrate you have at least 40,000 individual donations.
Right.
In other words, 40,000 different people have given to your campaign. Those are the criteria right now. Originally, it was 1%. You said though they.
I'm gonna double check. I thought I read that this morning.
So
see debate rules.
So I guess 2%.
That's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. But it'll probably screen some of them out. You know, because you get to a point where you have too many people on the stage, and it's not a debate. It's this candidate had 2 times to talk, and they got 1 minute responses. That's not a debate. That's just a soundbite is all that is, or just give your camp stump speech. Yep. So go ahead, Steve.
All right. Have y'all?
Sorry, 1%. At least 1%. You were right, sir.
Yeah,
1%. I shouldn't have been spending so much time listening to Vivek Ramaswamy. 1%. You were correct, sir. That's why we have you here.
Yeah.
Have y'all had enough of KJP today?
We had a little bit.
Fred gave us a dose last hour.
I got another dose for you if you would like.
Well,
this is yesterday's press briefing, and the reporter from Newsmax, his name is James Rosen, used to be at Fox.
Yeah.
I remember him.
He asked Corinne Jean-Pierre, you'll hear a little bit of the question, since Biden is falling all the time, is the White House advance team or the White House doing anything to help, you know, prepare the way? Are they changing any of the protocols? What a response. This is a little longer clip than we usually play. It's about a minute and a half, but listen to cut four.
I want to ask about the president's tumble that he took on the stage in Colorado the other day. We've all observed the difficulty this president has in certain settings. So my question to you is whether this whole series of incidents has led the White House Chief of Staff to direct some kind of review of the advance procedures that are employed on behalf of this, the nation's oldest president.
You know, here's what I will say. This is a president, that has had an incredibly impressive first 2 years. When you think about what he's been able to get done, when you think about the record historic pieces of legislation that are now into law. So I will leave that there. Isn't that what it's important? As a reporter, don't you think it's important what Americans care about? I'm just saying that is something that Americans want. Isn't that not true? That they have a leader that's going to deliver for them?
Your proposition may or may not be true, but it's not responsive to my question.
I think it's very true. I know what your question is. You're asking me if we're going to change anything from here, if the Chief of Staff has asked for it to change anything from here. And here's the thing. We are not. Things happen. Other presidents have had similar situations, as you know, and I'm sure you've reported on the last president who's had a similar situation.
I don't remember that one. When did Trump take a tumble like that?
I think she's talking about when he was escorted down the step.
He just walked down a ramp.
Rolled down a ramp. Slowly. Gingerly, because
it was in Colorado.
He was trying to be careful that he didn't fall.
Yeah.
That's a, isn't that a bit of
what he's asking her is it's kind of okay. I'm gonna play the part of the liberal.
Yes. Thankfully, finally,
Ed's gonna pass the liberal banner over to me for a minute. The guy fell down. So what? Huh? You want somebody following you around with a camera all day? And when you fall down or when you stick your finger in your ear,
right?
You know what I'm saying? They go, oh, look at this. He's losing his mind.
Right.
Okay. Or he's unhealthy. I just think this is being overblown. What does matter is his speech and his cognitive decline. Because the fact that the guy falls down, he got right back up.
Well, he had to be helped.
Well, he had to be helped.
Yeah, but he's 80 years old.
What I'm saying is I think this is too much attention being played to. He looks pretty fit to me to be 80 years old.
Right.
Talking about Biden. Does he not to you?
No, he is. I think this could have been a 10-second clip. What Karine Jean-Pierre should have said is what she said at the very end. She should have said, well, he tripped. There was a sandbag in the way. He's 80 years old. He fell. Other people have fallen. He wasn't hurt.
And if this becomes a problem every other day, we'll look at what's going on. But
I think let me just say, with all due deference to the liberal on our panel today, I think you're exactly right. The fact that he fell, that's unimportant, but it does raise the question about other types of fitness. And those would be legitimate.
Well, he should ask that question.
That's right. That's what he should have said.
He skipped around it.
It's kind of a mocking thing to do. And that's why I said when we were when he fell over the was this over the weekend that he fell? I forget. But anyway, I said I don't want to talk about quote unquote the old man falling because that's not right. You know, he is elderly, and there's nothing wrong. You know, people do lose a step, etc. That's not the point. To me, the question is his mental fitness, and that's a question that you should ask.
I just think it was quite the non sequitur answer that she gave, Phil.
It was a terrible answer.
It was easily answered, or Steve said that. It was easily answered. I don't know why she didn't say, nope, we don't have anything planned to do differently. President fell one time, and
yeah.
He's not hurt, and we're ready for today.
Yeah.
Next question.
And he's in great shape for 80 years old.
He's had a great record.
But she's a terrible press secretary.
Right, all the way around.
Because it sounds like she's deflecting from a real problem. When she's not answering the question, it makes it look like, well, is there something here that we should be concerned about?
Yes.
That's what it was a terrible answer, but she's been bad all the way around as press secretary. She's no Vivek Ramaswamy, let me tell you that.
How many times are you going to say that?
I don't know. I've already had people.
That's a fella's name.
Yeah.
How would you like to be? How would you like to name Edward Vitagliano become the butt of jokes?
let me just clue you in by high school years.
Okay.
All right.
You have been the butt of jokes.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Hey, do you remember we talked the other day about the choir, the kids' choir that was canceled? They were
unceremoniously
shut down. They were singing the national anthem in Statuary Hall. They had permission from the Speaker of the House, who's in charge of such things, and the Capitol Police came up to them in the middle of the song and may or may not have told them that it was a protest song, our national anthem, and that people were offended. Anyway.
There's a difference of opinion on that.
There is a little bit of a difference of opinion
on said.
But what was beyond dispute is that they were not allowed to finish their national anthem. Well, a certain former president has taken notice of that, and I want you to hear from him. It's cut 7.
Well, I just want to say hello and pay my respects to a very talented group of people, the Rushing Brook Children's Choir. I heard about what happened at the Capitol, and that's a shame. It's a serious thing to have an event like that, such a beautiful time in your lives and such an important time in your lives to be interrupted in such a way. But we are going to have you in South Carolina, and you're going to sing at a rally for us in front of tens of thousands of people. And we're all going to have a great time together. We love our country. We're going to take care of our country. And we're going to pay respect to those people that love it. And nobody loves it more than you. So, Rushing Brook, remember, South Carolina, at our first rally. It'll be announced soon, and you're going to be there. And thank you for everything, and thank you for loving America.
Oh, listen, that
brilliant move.
That
there.
Is a brilliant political move by President Trump. And that's he plays that kind of card.
Yeah. It's a brilliant political move by President Trump. But I think it's not just political. I think he's sincere.
Oh,
in,
no.
In saying this was wrong, and I'm standing with the choir.
Yes. I didn't mean to suggest that it was not sincere. Because former president does love America a lot. I'm saying that if you're going forward, that's the kind of thing you put out, you're going to win.
You mean
people
instead
up.
Of sanctimonious?
Yes. You start making that right there is going to endear South Carolinians to the former president.
Yep.
It's a smart move to invite that group and have them come and sing. And I think it was sincere. And I think that sincerity is what drew people to the former president in 2016. This guy really does love America. He really does hate the swamp. He really does want all those things. And that's
he just has a problem with Kayleigh McEnany.
You had to bring up Kayleigh. Now that's a name that is harder to say than
the one I won't say again. No, I agree with you. Where Trump gets into trouble is when he starts name calling and going after people who conservatives like Kayleigh McEnany.
Right.
Where he's at his best, Trump.
Yeah,
is when he does something like what we just talked about.
Yes,
and I think he would be. And a lot of people have told him, "Hey, get off the bashing of other Republicans, and focus on Biden."
Right.
And that's your best. That's the best Donald Trump.
Right.
Right there.
Although I would
don't,
say
don't get into fights with. What's his name? The governor of New Jersey?
Chris Christie.
Don't get into fights with Chris Christie.
Although I would do pay-per-view for
Chris Christie beat Donald Trump.
Yes. That listen.
You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're not even going to have to pay for it. Because those two are going to go at
New
it.
New Jersey and New York City, man.
You know, Trump should not even talk about Chris Christie, if you think about it, because he's not even measuring 1% or 2%
right.
of this point. And Trump is way out ahead in the polls, especially against Chris Christie and the others. He shouldn't. What's else? Don't pay attention to somebody. It's like you're trying to swat a gnat. Okay.
Yeah. So, but
we'll go ahead and say what we're all thinking.
But Chris Christie is going to go after Trump to elevate his name.
Yes.
And Donald Trump is going to be Captain America versus Iron Man.
But Trump has
okay, the that's going to be a war.
Trump has self control, and he will not start tweeting.
He won't take the bait.
He won't take the bait. No. Right. Anyway, it's going to be fun. New Jersey versus New Yorker. I think it's going to be a side show, but they're going to go after each other. And Trump would do wise just to ignore Chris Christie and move on, and sing with the choir, kids choir.
Yeah. Right.
You know. All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
What did I say?
Nothing. I'm sorry. I've had too much Diet Coke today.
I've never heard you say I've had too much Diet Coke.
Playing the role of Ed Battagliano tomorrow will
yes.
be.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Liberal Ed. And
Liberal Tim today.
To Forest Fires Fred, who's sending from his homeland down to the U.S., Canada, down to the U.S. And we thank you for listening to today's issues. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great afternoon, everybody.